So we're continuing our shiurim of talking about different personalities and their relationship to the mitzvah of tshuva. So we're speaking about a person today who had a very unique take. Let me begin by mentioning a couple of things by way of hakdama that I think are going to frame our discussion a little bit. When you speak about the way that different Jewish thinkers related to the world of tshuva, so there are many that dealt with the world tshuva in theory. They spoke about tshuva from a philosophical, spoke about tshuva from a Kabbalistic perspective, spoke about tshuva from a halachic perspective, different ways of assessing tshuva. And in the shiurim, talking about tshuva, so we've had people who have used very, very different methodologies and varying degrees of complexity as far as the depth of Torah that they are sharing. Reb Noach Weinberg was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Eish HaTorah. He is one of the people most responsible, for the what you would call the worldwide Baal Tshuva movement. Massive impact that he had on the world as a whole. His Torah, at least in my understanding of it, I didn't know him, I never learned under him, but in my understanding, and looking through some of his svar, his Torah is not what you would call amazingly complex, complicated Torah. The Torahs that he taught and he's known for is strong, it's clear, it is elements of it are basic, elements of it, or at least he can feel like it's basic a little bit. And his Torah is important in many ways, not only because of the theory or the ideas he shared, but because of the manner in which he implemented all of the Torah that he very much believed in. And if we speak about tshuva, so for Noach Weinberg and his brother Shi, you know, tshuva is a movement. Tshuva wasn't just a mitzvah that was important for Yachid to do, come Yamim No Rayim time. Tshuva wasn't just, oh my gosh, my son is coming up next week, I really should get on my A game a little bit. But tshuva was something in the world of Kirov, which for him was definitional, which for him was massively significant in trying to best understand and process all that's going on out here in the world. So for Noach Weinberg, we're going to learn a little bit about him and his Torah. We'll have a brief sort of biography about elements of Reb Noach Weinberg. And I want to speak about the way in which he viewed tshuva, but in particular, not the tshuva of a yachid, but the tshuva in many ways that needed, or he would say has to take place for all of Klal Yisrael. And what exactly to do and how to do that, it's really fascinating Torah. It's part of understanding a very important group of, important part of Klal Yisrael. Noach Weinberg is born to parents that are, on some level, really Israeli. He ends up moving to America. His brother, Reb Yaakov, as kids, his parents moved to America. His brother, Reb Yaakov Weinberg, was a Shiva of Ner Yisrael and a very, very fascinating figure in his own right. Noach Weinberg's father is a chassid. I believe that they were descendants and connected to the world of Slonim or Chassidus. His father in America, you know, in that era, sent his son to Litvisha yeshivas, to non-Chassidic yeshivas, because he said, I'd rather my son be, at that point in time, the learning in Chassidish places in America was not that high. And he said, I'd rather my son not be a chassid, but be a Talmid Chacham and know how to learn than to be a chassid and be an Hamaretz. So he sent his son to Litvish Yeshivas, learned in Chaim Berlin, learned a bit in Ner Yisrael, and really Noach Weinberg, like his brother Yaakov Weinberg, were not Hasidim at all, real sort of Litvish Torah. And Noach Weinberg is a figure that throughout his life, he's learning a lot of Arif in Yeshiva, and it hits him a little bit that there is a crisis, and that Klal Yisrael needs to have Yeshiva for Baalei Tshuva. There were always people, we'll see in a little bit, there were always the idea of Kirov, the idea of bringing people closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, was not invented by Reb Noach Weinberg and Eish HaTorah. It was not invented by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The idea of bringing people closer, so the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvot, in Mitzvot Asei Gimel, is part of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. We know that Avram and Sarah, Avram Begayir Es HaNashim, Sarah Es HaNashim, Avram and Sarah were spreading monotheism throughout the world. We know the Rambam tells us that part of the what it means to love Hashem. So there are certain things that I love that I want to keep for myself. Certain things I love. If I'm at a meal and there's a piece of chicken there and I love it, I don't want to share that with other people. I want it to be only for me. But there are certain things that your love, my love of it, does not preclude other people's ability. If they love it, doesn't impact my love. Adarabha. If I know it's so great, I want other people to like it also. Like sometimes when we're younger, we're really into a particular song. So we like... so we're able to spread that in a certain sense. We're able to spread that to I'll be able to like it also. For the Rambam, the idea of Kiruv is certainly an idea, maybe not in the current form, which is out there. The Chavetz Chaim, we'll speak about a letter of the Chavetz Chaim. We quoted yesterday in Sefer Chomas Hadas. So let's say with the Chavetz Chaim's own perspective on Klal Yisrael needing a little bit of chizuk, you know, in different areas. But the idea of, I don't know if he's the first, but the idea of a yeshiva for Baalei Tshuva, is really in many ways very innovative, and he's a minimum one of the first, to my knowledge, to have the idea that a yeshiva is a place not only for classic B'nai Torah, but to be open and accessible for B'nai, for Baalei Tshuva also. He tries to start a bunch of different yeshivas. He fails a couple of times. He's one of the people who is the original founder behind Or Sameach. There ends up being a major split between Noach Weinberg and the other Rabbanim in Or Sameach. He ends up having to leave and start Eish HaTorah. We're going to speak about that split a little bit. It's an amazingly intriguing machlokas, and it's one that in many ways framed a little bit what the goal of Eish HaTorah in many ways was all about. So Noach Weinberg was a person that was a huge believer, a very big believer in the importance of spreading tshuva, the idea of tshuva, that people need to come back and baalei tshuva, and doing so in a way which was very impactful. We are going to break down the shiur today in two categories. First, the theory, what motivated him to engage in this, why did he think we needed a mass tshuva movement? He was not a status quo Jew. He didn't think that things are okay. He believed that things need to change throughout all of Jewry. Definitely a big believer in that. And why, what motivated him, the theory behind the importance of tshuva being sort of a mass movement. And the second thing we'll speak about are the way in which he thought tshuva is supposed to be spread, the way in which we're supposed to go about generating, having more and more Baalei Tshuva. Let's begin as follows. I was listening last night in the car back from Yerushalayim. Rav Ari Kahn was close to Noach Weinberg, and he shared an observation which, in my understanding of both the world of Chabad and the world of Eish HaTorah, at least from the learning I've done in each of those sort of scenes a little bit, is very, very much correct. And it's going to frame the way, at least I think, from Noach Weinberg, he viewed things. There are two ways to understand Chabad and Eish HaTorah. If you look at the contemporary world, are two scenes very much engaged in the tshuva movement, but they're doing so for fundamentally different reasons. They're doing so from different perspectives, and the reason why they're doing that, interestingly enough, may actually impact what they do, how they do it, and really reflects a much more yesodistic machlokas. In the world of Chabad, I'll elaborate more than Rabbi Kahn did in that shiur, it was a very brief hour that he made, but in the world of Chabad, and we're not going through the details of Chabad thought, but some of this we'll be able to understand, but elements even in Torah's Chassidus, the letter, you know, the line attributed to the Baal Shem Tov, Emasai Ka'asimar, when's Geula, when's Mashiach going to come, when the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, in many ways, the idea, and part of this is the impact of the Holocaust, in elements of Chabad Chassidus, the idea of sending out shlichim, of bringing people closer, is very much, again, in many ways, messianic. It's geared towards Geula. That the way that the Geula is going to come, both, interestingly enough, if Tzvi Yehuda Cook and the Lubavitcher Rebbe believe that the Holocaust taught us something about, you know, the need for Geula, for Tzvi Yehuda, that was the need to focus on Eretz Yisrael and getting things ready. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, that was the need to spread out and to bring people much closer. Every mitzvah brings us one step closer. Every independent ma'aseh mitzvah brings one step closer. And certain mitzvahs, from a perspective of machshava and kabbalah, not for now, but mitzvahs like Neir Shabbos, Neir Chanukah, and Tefillin are mitzvahs that really bring us closer. In that sense, it's a very almost optimistic, positive perspective. Let's bring people closer. We're all one step closer to geula. We're one step closer to where we need to be. From Nochis, the primary motivating factor to engage in tshuva as a movement, start spreading things, is not, it's not redemptive or messianic, at least in a dominant sense at all. It is much more a fear and a deep, real concern for the state of Jewry. He's doing it not because he's excited about building Geula, he's doing it because he is terrified about that which he is seeing. He would often say, and here's an important comment. Sorry, I spelled Mesil Sharman correctly there, and the typo was late. From Perek Yates, he was fond of apparently, of a comment of the Ramchal Mesil Sharman, quoting from Tanya Beliyo, where Noach Weinberg maintained the following. We know that there are Rambam and Yisrael Yisrael Torah, Gemaras and Mesachas Yuma, Mesachas Sanhedrin. There's something called Kiddush Hashem and something called Chilul Hashem. And it's important sometimes to define well what is called Kiddush Hashem and what is called Chilul Hashem. Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll learn about sugyas relating to Yaharik Val Yavor. So there are certain times, part of the motivating factor to give your life in situations of Shvichas Damim, Gilei Raios, Avodah Zarah, one of the motivating factors relates to not just Chumras Ha'avera, but relates to Chilul Hashem, or it's the opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and that's undoubtedly something which is there. But Noach Weinberg maintained that the current state of Klal Yisrael, that a Klal Yisrael which is a high percentage that are assimilating, that are intermarrying, that are not observant, that are amaratim, is nothing short of a massive Chilul Hashem. It's a massive, massive Chilul Hashem. It's something which is again, very powerful in that sense, quoting here from Jonathan Rosenblum's book on Rav Noach Weinberg, identifying the obligation to return Jews to their roots as an aspect of Kiddush Hashem has enormous halachic implications. It's nafkaminas lahalacha. A Jew is required to give up his life for Kiddush Hashem. Thus, according to Noach, a believing Jew must be prepared to give up his life to wipe away the stain of ignorance, disbelief, and obliviousness to mitzvah observance from the Jewish world. And few of his students doubted that he was willing to do so. Meaning, when you view the world of Kiruv as being rooted in its Chilul Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam's name is desecrated, when Jews are not observing, Talmud with which know nothing, so it impacts the severity with which you deal with it. It's not just another mitzvah. Chilul Hashem is not just another mitzvah. Chilul Hashem is a much more significant mitzvah, of paramount importance, or Kiddush Hashem and the Isser of Chilul Hashem. It's major stuff. That's why Derech Agas and the Mefarshim al Torah say, what's Chilul Hashem? Chilul, milashon chalal, a gaping hole. That if the whole Hashem, there's something missing, the Gabi, the Ribbono Shel Olam, this world, that's a terrible, terrible Chilul Hashem. And we have to react quickly and intensely and in a very focused way because of it. That comes from a comment of the Ramchal in the 19th chapter, Perek Yates of Mesil Shasharim, quoting here, Kol Chacham Tatan Belio, Kol Chacham Yisrael Sheshbo Divrei Torah Lamito. Anyone that is a Talmud Chacham, that really has a true, deep, real connection to Torah, Umis'anich al Kvodo Shel Kosh Baruch, when you care about the Kavod of Ribbono Shel Olam Kol Yamav, so you are Mis'ave Umiyatze L'Kvod Yerushalayim L'Kvod Beis HaMikdash, you want a Mikdash to come, and you want to come quickly. You'll be Zocha Teruch HaKodesh, okay, fine. Nimte Shlamit, so Zosi HaKavana HaMa'ula, Shi Rechoka L'Gamri Mikohanas Atmo, the ultimate level a Jew could reach, which is not focused on your own kind of self-centeredness, your own kind of kavod, is ve'enu el lichvodo shel makom mekadosh baruch hu shmo yisbarach hamiskadesh bibriyosav b'shah she'osin ritzono. When Jews are fulfilling the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam, God, that causes a sense of Kiddush Hashem. That causes a Kiddush Hashem. And Chorban Habayis is a massive Chilul Hashem. Because Chorban HaBayis is more Jews that can't worship Hashem the way that we're ideally supposed to. In a world of Chorban, is more Jews that are distant. That are distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He evadet tzarach shetzdar tamid tzar mamish al agalos v'al Chorban mitzad mashu zeh gorei miyur kivyachol lichvodo yisbarach. And if you mispal tamid al geulas b'nei Yisrael, that there's something about the way that this is going, there's a certain kind of lacking in this world when Jews don't keep mitzvos in the best way possible. Later on, v'odat tsar, rabba kashal, ilay kvodos al Yisrael, the status of Klal Yisrael, shenei roi l'chol chasid, sheyiskavim b'maisav, l'tovas doro kulo. That it's a chil Hashem when Jews aren't in a good place, a kiddush Hashem when Jews are in a much better place. So a dominant factor for him is that it feels like, in many ways, it's a massive Chilul Hashem. The time is upon us to react. Further than that, let's draw on another sort of piece which highlights the urgency of it. The Chavetz Chaim, and letters of the Chavetz Chaim. Source number 2 on the sheet. Maimar Eis Lasos Lashem. The Chavetz Chaim said as follows. Noach Weinberg is picking up what the Chavetz Chaim wrote, and he's doing it in a much more sort of even like intense way practically. Ukashem said the Chavetz Chaim. Shebenyone Ha'olam Bizman Melchama, in the times of war, When it comes to times of war, everyone needs to sort of like do what you can for the war effort. You can't sit back comfortably, you gotta do whatever you can. Everyone says to each other, let's do what we can to help our people. So said the Chafetz Chaim, and if you know about war, so you teach people about war. You do whatever you can to be able to help them. In time of war, you have to. And he says as follows, says the Chafetz Chaim. Therefore, akol echad ve'echad, every person, kishayesh re'ak ma'at or Torah besocho, kol echad lefi mashahu. If you only have a little bit of Torah within you, yishtadil lazos bazek fichocho, im yodeya mikra, if you know psukim, yaseh chabura ve'yilmod lacheir mikra, teach people psukim. If you only know the letter Aleph, teach them Aleph. Whatever you know, you have a responsibility to come and to teach other people because it is a time of war. And Noach Weinberg will speak later about the practical piece. But as far as the underlying perspective of how he viewed it, this is a time of war. Now, you can look at it and not see things that way. You can look at it and see things a little bit differently. They say in Maisa that Noach Weinberg was once visiting a particular college campus that was known for its sort of like anti-religious bend. And it was a very beautiful campus. And the guy he was with said to Reb Noach Weinberg, what a beautiful campus. And Reb Noach said, I feel like I'm walking through Auschwitz. I don't see anything beautiful here. You're talking about just massive amounts of Jews who are being lost forever. And he drew on that Holocaust analogy. Not all were so happy with it. But he was comfortable drawing on that comparison, saying there's a spiritual Holocaust taking place. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews that don't know they're Jewish, that are marrying, that are intermarrying, that are not observant at all, that know very little. It's times of war, it's times of Chilul Hashem. So did he believe in the Rambam's Avas Hashem model also? Of course he did. All of this, that one of the reasons why you care that this is happening is because if you love other Jews, you love their Bonus Shalom, and you see what's happening, it isn't only the massive Chilul Hashem, it isn't only the wartime of the Chafetz Chaim model which is taking place, but it's also that in the most dominant way possible. It's also that in a very scary way. And the more you feel that, the more you're able to react. He was fond of, there are a couple stories he was fond of, apparently. There's one Maisa that he was very into. He heard it on a fundraising trip in Florida. And here's a Maisa which is going to shift us a little bit from the theory of what he saw to sort of shifting us just a little bit in the direction of, so what exactly has to happen? What do you do? Tshuva, again, when people speak about tshuva l'maisa, they often speak about how you have to engage in vidoy, what it means for you to engage in a healthy kind of chesed and nefesh. For him, it's about, no, also your achrayas to others. So, first of all, the Mishnah Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Zayin and Aleph, so for Noach, it's based on a variety of comments in Mishnah Sham and others, but Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, when Chazal said, Leficha, Kol Echad Chayev Lomar, that everyone's obligated to the world's created for me, so for Noach Weinberg, that's not a self-centered comment, that I have to say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. What that means is that I have to feel an authentic sense of responsibility. That Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam means the world's created for me, and therefore I have what to do. And therefore I'm charged to act and behave a certain way. It's on you. So are you going to step up? You're not going to step up. What are you going to be able to do? You know, what's your relationship going to be? Where are you going to be at? So he's very fond of the following story. It's a story, he told stories a bunch. Last night in the car, I listened to the way back was of Ari Khan, the way there, and a conversation with someone, and the way there was hearing of Noach Weinberg tell some stories. So Noach Weinberg was very into the following Maisa. He was on a fundraising trip in Florida, and a chassidish guy came over to Noach and told him, Noach, you should know there's an old Jew that I was makariv. So Noach said, what's the Maisa? Why were you makariv this old Jew? Like, what exactly was going on? So he said he was an administrator in a nursing home. And as an administrator in a nursing home, there were 297 non-Jews in a nursing home and 3 Jews. That was the breakdown of it. And he was running it. So he asked the Shaila. The Shaila was, is he allowed to give non-kosher food to the 3 Jews? They're not observant. Is he allowed to give non-kosher food or not? The psak he got was, it's totally us, sir. You have to give them kosher food. Okay, fine. So he goes out of his way to procure for them kosher food. He gives the kosher food to the 3 Jews. Apparently, 2 of them are totally good with this. The kosher food was more expensive, higher quality food, and that was it. One of them was one of these like real old-time kind of person and said, ridiculous. I want the same food as everyone else. The food you're getting is better. The food you're getting is more expensive. There's more variety. No. I want the exact same food as anyone else. You are engaging in religious discrimination. Okay, fine. You know, you stall a little bit. One day there's a government inspector, as they do sometimes, coming through this particular facility. This woman calls over the inspector and says, I am the subject of intense religious discrimination. They are just here. They're treating me different. They won't give me the same food as everyone else. You know, they're giving me this like special, unique food. You know, I don't know if she like said it's like wearing the Star of David on my shirt. I don't know if she went like, you know, akadikach, but the discrimination. This inspector goes over to the chassidish guy who's running the nursing home and says, what's happening? He says, yeah, I want to give her kosher food. He says, you have two options. You either got to convince her to take the kosher food or I'm shutting you down. You know, or give her non-kosher food or I'm shutting you down. But there's no other, like, if she filed a formal complaint, like, that's what it is. You're being shut down or give her the food. Like, that's what it is. So the chassid says, you know, so I convinced her to become frum. I sat down with her, and I convinced her to become frum. Reb Noach Weinberg was struck by the following part of the story. When he spoke to the chassid was unable to recall a single argument that he made to convince the woman to become frum. The only refrain he kept on coming back to in telling that story was, I had no choice, I had to convince her. He felt the sense of urgency. It was a psak. He wasn't going to serve her non-kosher food. That was usher. He didn't want to lose his entire parnasa either. He had no choice. And when he had no choice, he was able to come up with everything to come up. He had the woman national Shabbos candles. She said brachas. She didn't kosher food. I had no choice and therefore was able to convince her. And for Noach Weinberg, and here's starting, when you feel that responsibility of Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, of that mission Sanhedrin, when you really feel that, and you feel like, I have no choice, I have to just get the job done. Like we spoke about yesterday a little bit. It's not about like, well, I tried my best. No. The options are either violating Isurim. We spoke yesterday even about some of these Isurim of Beis Mitzvah and Lafrisho and Sfiyah Biadayim. You know, we're holding a little bit in this sugya. I don't want to violate Nisr. That's one option. I also don't want to lose my job. When you have no choice, you become incredibly resourceful. And the particular arguments were less critical. What was most critical was the sense of responsibility and urgency you felt for channeling Mesielos Yesharim, the massive Chil Hashem that's going on in the world right now. And because of that massive Chil Hashem, so we do whatever we can to be able to step up. We do what we can to be able to step up when the situation undoubtedly demands of it. Reb Noach Weinberg in Eish HaTorah, let's format things a little bit. So you have a big machlokas amongst Eish HaTorah and Or Sameach. It's a big machlokas. It's a very fundamental machlokas. Which describes it in his book, Reb Noach Weinberg, I think is very sort of apt. Whether you are a status quo institution or a non-status quo institution, here's the machlokas. It's not a machlokas in Lamdus, it's a machlokas in Klal Yisrael. It's how to do things. The goal in many ways, I'm sort of oversimplification to a certain extent, the goal of Or Sameach is to do the following. You have guys without a background, and they want to come and they want to join a yeshiva. Your job in many ways is to mainstream them. Your job is to teach them how to learn Gemara, to teach them enough, to give them enough skills, so that eventually the ultimate goal of a guy who learns in Or Sameach is to be entirely sort of mainstreamed into the firm world. He's going to go learn in Kolo somewhere. He's entirely mainstream. That's part of what Or Sameach is about. The world is good. The firm world is good. And we're trying to bring people in to be able to allow them to join that in a certain sense. Eish HaTorah of Noach Weinberg does not believe that all is good. His job is not to mainstream people whatsoever. His job is very, very simple. His job is he wants to bring in Bali Tshuva. He wants a revolution. At some point, it becomes clear to him, apparently, that you won't be able to convince as many frum people as you would want to be able to engage in Kiruv. But who are the people most likely to be sensitive to the, you know, to what's all behind Kiruv? Dafka the Chevra that came from weaker backgrounds, and they were Bali Tshuva. Bali Tshuva are more likely to want to be the kinds of people that are going to encourage other people to join also. So the idea of mainstreaming into a yeshiva, so I one of the muscles he gave, I think, once, one of the lines they quote in one of the books about him, was there at North Weinberg, there was once a guy from Eish HaTorah who was great in learning that left to join the Mir. And there were people in the yeshiva that were very happy. You know, he had made it until he's fully mainstream into the Mir, and North Weinberg was visibly a little bit upset. He said, why are you upset? He said, we're in the middle of war. in wartime, what we need right now in wartime, we need more medics. We don't need brain surgeons. And to take someone that could be a medic and to set them aside for 10 years to become a brain surgeon, Clive has a lot of people working on brain surgery, probably too many, and we need more people that are going to become medics. People that are going to get in the field and start. And this guy could have done that. This guy could have done that. So the goal of HaTorah was not to learn for a massive amount of time. In HaTorah, part of the goal was getting an overview of things. So an overview of Chumash, an overview of Taryag Mitzvos and systems to get crash courses and to remember and to be there for a couple of years to get familiarity, of course, with Gemara and things like that. But to be able in a certain sense to begin the kind of movement, to begin the kind of world where people are going to be going out and spreading things, going out and spreading and going out and teaching. In that sense, you know, when you talk about Lilmod Ulamed, so there are people that emphasize Lilmod a bit more and probably people that emphasize Ulamed a bit more. From Noach Weinberg, the need to teach is dominant and it's very real. He gave a course, a class, a series of shiurim on the Mem Ches Kinyanei Torah and Pirkei Avos that was classic. It's put out in English and Hebrew. You have different versions of it. Here in source number 6 on the sheet comes from Noach and Mem Ches Kinyanei Torah, which is going to define for you a little bit about the importance of teaching. Why teach? Why teach? So typically, if we're talking about teaching Torah, most of us would put it in the context of, we'd frame it as a halachic obligation. Lilmod ulamed. If some of us were getting fancier, we'd speak about machlokes between Rambam and the Bahag. Is learning and teaching two separate mitzvahs? Is learning and teaching one mitzvah? Some of us may point out, even I believe the Rambam and Hilchos Talmud Torah begins with the mitzvah, begins almost with the mitzvah of teaching before the mitzvah, really, of learning. Teaching, the role of teaching, it's a halachic obligation that we have. Vishinatam levanecha, elu talmidecha. We have obligations. We have obligations in order to teach. But Weinberg framed it a little bit differently also. It isn't just a halachic obligation. And if you view it as a halachic obligation, so you can misread things a little bit. Ha'ora higam chova musari. It's an ethical or moral obligation to go and teach Torah. So take the following example. You have a person that has a way of dealing with cancer. You have a person that's found more or less a cure for cancer. But he won't teach anyone how to use it. He won't teach anyone how to use it. He sees that people are suffering, but he will not reveal his secret, the way in which you can cure cancer. What kind of person is this? This person is evil. This person is horrific. Morally and ethically, he has a way of saving lives, and he's not. The worst form of sickness that we are currently dealing with in this world, it is contagious. It's an infectious disease, says of Noach Weinberg, who haboros, ignorance. Ignorance is a massive disease taking place right now. And, says of Noach Weinberg, it leads to a life that is essentially a life. We're in this world for religious and spiritual purposes. That's why we're really here, to mekayim Torah mitzvos, to do great things. Where we're here for ratzon of the ribono shel olam. That's what we're here for. And if you don't know Torah mitzvos, and you're just sitting in your particular world, your life is going to be chas ve'toeles. It has less meaning. It has less purpose. There's less going on for you in a certain sense. Less going on for you. And he says to do that, to watch that, and to do nothing, to watch people who don't know anything about Torah mitzvos, wasting away their lives and not to respond, that is morally and ethically gross. That is disgusting. That's like a person who has a cure to cancer and doesn't tell people about it. You have information and you have content that, if shared with other people, can help cure the spiritual holocaust. And each person matters, don't they? Kol mekayim nefesh achas, that Mishnah in Sanhedrin. You're mekayim in olam male. And you have the ability to do so. Tshuva for Noach Weinberg was not an Elul topic. It wasn't a cute shiur on a Friday morning. Tshuva was defining what our goal is. Maybe not in, sort of like the Noam Melech understood. Every door, every generation has its own mitzvah. So one mitzvah that door has to work, focus on really intensely. So for Noam Melech, that mitzvah is tzitzis. Salman Rebbe writes in the Sivachinah, he thinks in our door, in his door, I don't know what the generation lines, change. But that was the mitzvah of chinach. I think part of like post-Holocaust with the mechanic people, that was very, very important. From Noach Weinberg, you talk in the tshuva in many ways is that mitzvah of our generation, and we have to do it. And it's about training medics, not training brain surgeons. I mean, it's about if you know something and you can teach it, so you have a responsibility your responsibility to do it. And practically, therefore, Reb Noach was comfortable pushing people into the chinuch business. He was not a cult leader. He wasn't looking for that at all. He was into people being independent-minded. You don't have to follow what he was saying. And sometimes, you know, chevra like this, it can become cult-like a little bit. You know, it's like you're born again. He's the one that brought you back a little bit. But it's not. He wasn't into that. It's about building people who are independent. People on their own are now going to be, you know, using these values. From Noach Weinberg, here's the example you have on the sheet in verse number 7, also Mechas Kanei Torah, page 433, 34, 35, 36. There, Noach says, he's talking about the 46th way of the 48 Darchei HaChachma, and he says as follows, you know, Limud HaManas Lamed, he says something amazing. You know, I'll frame it in the following way. We say this vort all the time. We say in the Mishnah Avos, the first Mishnah Avos, Moshe Katoa Misinai V'chulei, that we have to have Talmidim Harbe. And we quote often the Kasha that Rav Avram Shor asks in a Sefer in Perkei Avos. Rav Avram Shor asks the Kasha, what do you mean that everyone's being charged to have Talmidim Harbe? Some people are teaching, they have Talmidim Harbe. And some people are teaching to very small groups, or they're not teaching at all. Where are Talmidim Harbe? Who are Talmidim Harbe? So for Noach Weinberg, not in answering this question, but in giving examples, I believe he would suggest the following. This is an example he gave. You have a Jew that's an Eretz Yisrael, and he gets on a bus. And it's a bus, right? He's going up for Shabbos to Tzfas. He's going to Tzfas for Shabbos, and he goes to Yerushalayim, bus station back in the day, you know, when people did things like this. And he's on the bus with someone, and they're going up. And he sits next to someone on the bus. He's on the bus. And it's a 3-hour bus ride. So you are sitting on an airplane, and there's a person next to you on that airplane. So what do you do? What's your relationship? What's your perspective on that? Many people, when they, you know, it's like people that are a little bit more cynical sometimes, you know, it's like you're sitting with like your kid on the plane and like there's an open seat in front of you and people start like walking up a little bit and you start like, you know, your kid's like, I hope it's not that person, you know, like anyone but that person, you know, and like, and someone else comes down, you're like, you know, okay. That wouldn't be as bad as some other people, you know, you're hoping for the empty seat, but you don't know. And like, you know, that's how people sort of like, in the days before there were open empty seats in front of everyone. And you're trying to like figure out a little bit like, okay, person next to you on the plane, next to you on the bus. So you have a question that for Noach Weinberg, questions like this. Is your primary goal to rest up a little bit? Is your primary goal to catch some sleep? Are you hoping to sit next to whoever is least disruptive? You know, like, is that your goal? Or are you a lomona manas lamed person? I'm not formally a teacher. I don't teach in a class at all. But I'm willing to use that opportunity to become a mitzvah. Look at that opportunity. It's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem for the Rambam. It's a mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, of Avleich Kamocha. It's about preventing a chil Hashem based on Rav Chaim Messias Sharim. It's wartime based on the Chavetz Chaim. So imagine if you view that as wartime. You view that as Avas Hashem and you're Avas Yisrael at the time. So aren't you going to engage in a bit of a conversation? Aren't you going to have some sort of a conversation with the person? And let's go into further. Aren't you going to want to spend a little bit of time in advance? Aren't we all in those situations? Aren't we going to want to spend a little bit of time in advance just to like to try to bring people a little bit, you know, to know what to do in those conversations, to know what to do? I'll change some details right now. The deals right now. There's a guy I'm pretty close with who I interviewed someone. I interviewed someone for this yeshiva once. You're talking one of fantastic in learning. Not from a firm background at all. How did he become firm? So I'm not holding all the mises, but his mother was a very impressive lawyer who shared an office, who worked with a firm guy. I happened to be close with him, in a certain sense, a major influence on me, you know, and the guy over time, you know, like he basically like tried to sell the mother on the importance thing to getting involved in some things. That the guy's fantastic in learning right now. It's not formally in chinuch. It's not formally in chinuch. But things like that, it's an amazing thing. I believe if I may be messing this up a little bit, my in-laws are Bali Tshuva. They're Bali Tshuva. They're from Canada. They spent a little bit of time in Indianapolis. One of the people there, this is actually a pretty cool maisa, one of the people there who was very influential in convincing them to become frum was one of my father's best friends in college. Super, super close. Throughout, and these kinds of conversations, like, you know, my father went to public school for high school, went to YU, decided he was going to go there. We don't know exactly why, he didn't ever talk about that kind of thing. We don't know why, you know, but people here, there's an older guy. We got an email after he passed away from a guy in Eretz Yisrael said, you know, I would love to come. I can't come because of COVID. I'm a couple years older than your father. I grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut with your father. I'm one of the people who spoke to me about like going to YU a little bit. You know, like I was 3 years older. I made that jump. I went there. And like you have these kinds of conversations where you're talking about building, you know, generations, but knowing how to have those and being those opportunities. From Noach Weinberg, welcome to what life's about and welcome to what tshuva is supposed to be. Welcome to what that can look like in a way which is important. Sometimes he wrote here in the same piece, it can be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes to do that. It's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But guess what? In wartime, we do things that are uncomfortable a little bit. In wartime, you engage in conversations that aren't as pleasant and a little bit less comfortable. But you do it. And you plan and you strategize and you know what to do. And from Noach, there were shittas about how you do it. Rational proofs. We have to be the kinds of people that come off like we're thought out. We have to be thought out people. No one's buying into things otherwise. We have to be welcoming people. We have to be the kind of people that know what we're talking about and are sincere and authentic. People see through that. But we have to engage in these things. This is what in many ways it's really about. But perceiving a need and being able to do what you can to build a particular kind of man. I'll end with a misa. It's a great misa. I have Noach Weinberg told over a lot. It's a misa which is telling, and I think it's an intriguing one. He told the misa over that there was once one of these like conventions in Eretz Yisrael for all the gedolim were getting together a little bit. The gedolim from the Litvisha world, the Chaim Shmulevitz is there, Blaise Yehuda Finkel is there, Zach's there, granted the Chavetz Chaim. Yeah, you have the Rebbe's are there, the Ger Rebbe's there. You know, you have a lot of the big people who are all there. Reb Chaskel Sarna is the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. Reb Chaskel Sarna gets up, and he says the following. He says, these are all people whose like grandfathers were major. The Chavetz Chaim's grandson is there. The Imri Emes, the Ger Rebbe's grandson is there. The Alton Navar's grandson is there. You know, these are the people that are the aristocracy. These are the elite of the Jewish world. And Reb Chaskel Sarna from Chevron gets up and he says in front of all of them, in front of the speech, he says, you know, none of your grandfathers, none of them, were the most impactful Jews of the last 100 years. None of them were. None of them were that. You know, you start getting a little bit, you know, you get a little bit defensive. I don't know. I think he was. Not only that, but the person with the largest impact on the firm world, never learned the Daf Gemara. Never learned the Daf Gemara. Now, you know, get them. A little more, whatever. Not only that, but when I say the name, you're all going to agree with me. Who's the name that he mentioned? Sarah Schneer, founder of the Beis Yaakov movement. Talking about someone that brought education to women. That before that, there was a breakdown in the home a little bit. And that for society to function, we have to have firm women. And Sarah Schneer, who didn't have an education of her own, who wasn't brought up in a regular firm school, started the movement, you know, and she did something, it was unbelievable. She got the backing of, people weren't happy with her. You know, the way of Noach Weinberg told the Maisa over, when the Kanaim, people that weren't so happy with her, went to the Chavetz Chaim, so the Chavetz Chaim would come out and come out against her. They described to the Chavetz Chaim what it was. Chavetz Chaim looked visibly perturbed at what it was, you know, Beis Yaakov movement. He went into his bedroom. In those days, Noach Weinberg said, in your bedroom, you often keep your coat. So they thought he was going in to get his coat to come out and to come out against her in some sort of massive public statement. Chavetz Chaim was in his bedroom. He comes out with money and says to the people there, you're telling me there's someone behind this and I have no chelek in it? I would love to donate money to this kind of a movement. Unbelievable. You're holding the Kutei Halacha, the Masechta Sota, Chavetz Chaim, you know, takes sides on this stuff and is into this a little, you know. It's an amazing thing. The amazing thing that there's something about a person who wasn't as educated, but who perceived a massive need. And when you perceive a massive need, you can do great things. When you perceive a massive need, you can do things that are great. Do things that are wild. You know what? I'm going to end with a vort. You can take it or leave it. I'm sorry. It's a great Torah. It's a great Torah. It comes from Noach Weinberg's brother, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg. It's an awesome Torah. My wife, I believe, when she spoke at her Israeli graduation, said this vort over. It's a great Torah. It's a great Torah. Gemara Babas from Chafal from Aleph. This will end with this. This is what Noach Weinberg, I think, believed in so deeply. The Gemara tells us that there was a breakdown in how Chinuch worked. Initially, it was father to son, Vishnatam Levanecha. The problem was that what didn't actually work for lots of people, because at some point in time, what happened? You know, not every father can teach, not everyone's available, not everyone has the background. And at some point, there was a little bit of a breakdown. Who comes in? Ad sheba Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla comes in, and Yeshua ben Gamla sets up the school system. This, Noach Weinberg, you know, pointed out when he quoted this Gemara once. This was set up, you know, like in that same share. This was set up way before right to public education was brought up in secular world. Yeshua ben Gamla said every Jew has to have right to secular education. Yaakov Weinberg was struck by a line in the Gemara. The Gemara in praising of Yeshua ben Gamla, hear this Torah, it's so good. Yeshua ben Gamla, the Gemara says, She'el malehu nishtakeh Torah miYisrael. If not for Yeshua ben Gamla setting up the school system, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. If not for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Ask Yaakov Weinberg, again, Noach Weinberg's older brother. Noach Weinberg's father passed away when he was younger. Yaakov Weinberg was viewed by Reb Noach as not just an older brother, but like a father figure and like a Rebbe. So he said, Yaakov had a kasha. Why does the Gemara say, if not for Yeshua ben Gamla, Torah would be forgotten from Klal Yisrael? It would have been forgotten. Less would have learned. There were still fathers to teach the children. It didn't all break down. He saved all. The Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Wouldn't have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. There would have been some that could have learned, and they would have been able to keep Torah alive. Elamai says of Yaakov Weinberg, if Torah is not accessible to every Jew in Klal Yisrael, it's not called Torah. If not for Yeshua ben Gamla, we'd have had a lot of people learning Talmudic stud. It's not called Torah. If not for Yeshua ben Gamla, if not for the fact that every Jew has access to Torah, it's called a lot of things, but it's not called Torah. And his brother, for Noach Weinberg, that is so true. Jews need Torah, and Jews need tshuva, and Jews need the right and the ability to be moving in a certain direction, and to be able to build ourselves to the kinds of people that can share Torah in a meaningful way, that view opportunities to help out, to bring people one step closer, to fight in the middle of a war. That's part of the perspective of Noach Weinberg. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.